This is Glenn Kaiser in Chicago. I'm sitting next to the L-Trex, waiting for a food store to open this morning. And so if you're going to hear, you might hear a little bit of background noise with the trains going by here in Chicago. I've been thinking a lot about community, and I'm actually going to write a sort of a brief miscellaneous bit-by-bit book on community, not specifics as to where I live or the people where I am over most of my lifetime, but rather talking about philosophical and scriptural issues with regard to community. And one of the first things that comes to mind is the utopian idea that either people want to latch onto or, you know, they think, oh boy, I'm going to find this group of folks and I'm going to move in and I'm going to live 24/7 in a house or a big building or whatever it might be. And life is going to be wonderful. And we're always going to get along. We're on the same page in every area, blah, blah. You know, think about it for a second. No matter how old you are or how young you are, or how idealistic you may be, the reality is that what Paul, Apostle Paul, writes about in Philippians, particularly chapter 2, dealing with being of one mind, you know, one accord, it's like a full-blown unity on every issue, which, of course, to me, the core issue is the phrase in Philippians 2, verse 1. In the Greek, it really has to do with fellowship of the Spirit, capital S. So, koinonia, a depth of spiritual unity and union with God the Holy Spirit in the context that Paul's speaking is among the believers, the followers of Jesus who you live with. Now, here we are in 2022 as I'm saying these things, and most of you already realize everybody in your fellowship of believers, of your, whether it's a local church, a house church, whether it's highly liturgical, you know, whether it's charismatic and Pentecostal, whether it's even fundamentalist, the truth is, not everybody agrees with everybody all the time about everything. And that's not only going to be true about the way things are done, methodology, but even ecclesiology, you know, the way the church functions, the local church, or denominational. And, of course, there are going to be disagreements, and not always according to the flesh, the old nature. It's not always, you know, people's sin nature and bad attitudes, although those things happen, right? Because they happen inside of you and me. Avoiding those things or seeing them as they are, confessing and repenting of them, is absolutely essential, or there's going to be a break in fellowship with one another, or you're going to start keeping distance from certain people. And then, of course, you have the what we call sometimes personality conflicts. You know, this person is a mega extrovert, and they tend to want to be around mega extroverts. The next person is a super introvert. You know, they're very quiet, reserved, removed. They want to be around people like that, or they just want to be alone a lot of the time, you know. And there's balances. I mean, obviously, sometimes you want to be around folks and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to talk and sometimes you don't really want to talk much. You know, don't feel like it. You want to just listen and sort of hang out. And the issue of being present with one another in community, and particularly in intentional Christian community where I've lived most of my life now, when to speak, when to be silent, when to toss out a headline and not much more in the conversation. And if somebody's interested, they'll ask, right? And you can go further. When to when to really sort of open up and extrapolate, talk a lot more about a particular important issue, when to decide, okay, it's time to hash over these doctrines where we're not on the same page, or where we are, looking for allies, trying to decide who might be someone who will come against us, who won't agree with us. And of course, the whole issue of judging one another. I mean, this happens in flesh and blood families. It happens in bands. It happens in the workplace, regardless of where you work. It even happens if you're doing distance vocation. You know, you're essentially online in the boonies in some rural area, because you eventually are going to disagree with, want to sometimes, and in some cases should, quote-unquote, cross swords with people that you disagree with, whether it's a coworker or your boss or somebody that you are guiding and directing because you're in that position of leadership in that workplace or in the local church or you name it. So, you know, the issue of community somehow being it's always wonderful or it's mostly wonderful and this beautiful existence with all these people of complete like mind, the same passion, the same heart. I'll tell you what I'm personally convinced this all boils down to. First of all, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and not everybody has it. Not everybody really knows, believes, walks with, is in any sort of genuine fellowship with Jesus Christ simply because they're part of a church or even part of a Christian community. Or perhaps, you know, they were born into it because mom and dad chose to live and serve together in that situation. So that's, you know, that's like one of those duh, obvious things, but people don't always think about it. And then we have people who are sort of on the bubble with Jesus. They're on the bubble with God. They're kind of floating back and forth, flitting back and forth between really serious about walking with him and more occasional, you know, and more casual. Well, I prayed the prayer, or, you know, I believe by faith I'm saved. Yeah, Jesus lived and died and rose again, and he's real. And I trust him for my salvation because I'm not saved by works. And so I'm done. That's it. I'm in. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's it. And so, you know, whether or not I pray very much in the average day, whether I study scripture, whether I show up, you know, when there are meetings or services or, you know, gatherings. And of course, social gatherings that aren't overtly spiritual. You know, we're just hanging out. Some people love those and some don't. Some people are just, I mean, as I got older, I realized, man, we're so involved with each other in marriage. We're involved with our kids, with our grandkids, with people in deep need. There are a few very close friends who have deep need, and, you know, we need to check up on them, and we're happy when they check up on us. And so all of a sudden, there's sort of the small group within the community itself, and there are all of these issues of time and physical energy and emotional energy that all figure in to how close the fellowship with others is or may not be. And sometimes, of course, judgment calls have to be made all the time. And then what are people requiring? You know, what do people in leadership or what does the larger body of believers locally expect of you or doesn't expect it, don't expect of you? You know, is everything always optional? And of course, the answer is no, but perhaps many things are. And then this issue of the unity of the Spirit, that's unity with God, the Holy Spirit, first of all. And then it's unity with one another in the Holy Spirit and relationally. So, okay, are you committed to God and to one another to the point that you are part of a community because of the calling in the sense of mission that you share with that group of believers? What are the real driving, deeply motivating, stimulating missions of that local fellowship? If it's reaching out to the poor, if it's sharing the good news of Jesus in the street or at schools or whatever, if it's a chaplaincy in hospital or jail or prison, there's a zillion different areas of need throughout the world or throughout the neighborhood in which the community lives and exists. So all of these things enter in to community, particularly intentional Christian community. And to the degree that you're willing to navigate, give, take, and sometimes find, okay, I'm just flat irritated, I'm worn, slam out, and I just can't do any more today or tonight or at 4 a.m. when somebody's in deep need, and you have to decide, what are you going to do? What does the scripture say? Am I willing to give and take and flow or not? And of course, there are a lot of folks who, after X amount of time, decide that's enough. That's enough. I want a different life and a different way of living. And of course, that is an option for people, unless they tend to be in survival mode and they don't know what else to do. And then, of course, there are the issues of physical illness that enter in, accidents that happen where all of a sudden somebody's in a physical disability or mental, emotional disability situation. And will the community be able to carry them? Should the community carry them? Is that a requirement from God? Or, you know, what's expected? So all of these things enter in to community living. And sometimes people aren't paying much attention to all this until they're in it and in the middle of it. So, you know, after living for right now 51 years in Christian community, these are things on my heart that I thought would be worthwhile to share. Glenn Kaiser in Chicago, given thanks, I'm in community. And now that the store is open, I got to go in and pick up a few things. Bless you. Thanks for listening.